we're delighted that you're here today. Let me tell you, you're in a good place. And I'll tell you what makes it good is you are in a place where God inhabits. There is no doubt in my mind. I haven't been able to say that for 50 years, but I am absolutely positive that God is all over what's happening. If you're in big, big trouble, we're glad that you're here because we have a miracle-working God that can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Well, our roofer guy's up there. We didn't say anything about the roof, but thank you so much. And I appreciate him more every day. I watch him up there. So thankful he hasn't asked me to come up and bless the roof. Danny's here today. Danny Davis, thank you so much for yesterday. I was watching that copper go up. Just absolutely, it was like the Shekinah glory that was resting on this place. God is good to us. And I'm going to tell you some great things today that have been happening, how God is moving in and taking us nobodies and literally using us in such a magnificent way. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder. I hope you will. I hope God takes the scales off your eyes today and you can see, truly see, amazing grace. Now, I'm going to approach it a little different. Miss Pam said to me she heard a message by T.D. Jakes entitled, "Favor is Not Fair." And I thought to myself, I'm going to give that a shot myself. Next Sunday. That's where I stole the subject today. I want to talk to you about favor is not fair. You really need to learn this. And really, and not until you do, can you really enter into high worship. Until you can say with David and with Ruth, "Who am I?" I mean, that you are truly overcome with just how God blesses you. Until you can do what the Scripture says, in everything give thanks. And then you truly enter into this truth that God is working everything out for your good and for His glory. Really, the statement, "That's not fair," is an evil little statement. It's not fair. My grandkids say that about what we do for one of them. "That's not fair. Where's mine?" Well, the truth is, you didn't deserve anything to begin with. This statement, "it's not fair," is usually made by people who feel very worthy. Show me one who has worked very hard all their life, and lo and behold, Joe Doe, who lives in the hood, lives off welfare, buys a lottery ticket, and wins $540 million. And you hardworking folk go like this, "That's not fair." Or, I thought about it, your mother has been a godly woman, faithful to your dad, loved her children. She gets cancer and dies. Lucy May, who is a harlot down in the hood, using crack, sells her children to men, lives in a vacant house with a pack of dogs, gets taken to the welfare hospital after she has cancer and is cured. That's not fair. Why are you getting quiet on me? Don't get quiet on me. You know I'm going somewhere with this. That's not fair. Shouldn't be in your vocabulary as a child of God. That's not fair. Unless I forget this, we're not talking about fair today. We're talking about amazing grace. It's amazing. Is it amazing to you? Here you sit. A year ago, you were in the crack house. You were using drugs. Here you sit. You were selling your body. You've had 4 abortions. And here you sit in the house of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, heaven bound. That's amazing grace. Or, let me take the opposite end of that. Here you sit. A couple years ago, you were in church as churchy as all get out. Thought yourself better than everybody else because you were a Presbyterian. And now you found out that it wasn't being a Presbyterian at all that God found you. Listen, let me tell you, if you get found in the church house, you are really a miracle. And I've said this to you so many times, the devil doesn't care whether you go to hell singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall from the bar stool, or in the choir loft singing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Many people in church this morning need to be saved. They think they're better than other folks. Doesn't work that way. It's not fair. You know, I've been in church now 71 years. That's true. I've been in church. I think I was almost born in church. Church. There's nothing I have not seen out of supposedly church people. Jealousy, envy, strife. All over God blessing someone else. I remember Pam's mother passed away, and her dad, she's always wanted a Cadillac, so her dad bought her a Cadillac with her mother's inheritance money and gave it to her. It wasn't a new one, it was a used one. Who did people talk about the lady at the rescue mission, pastor's wife, driving a Cadillac? Somebody said, "Praise God." Somebody always said, "Praise God." My house. I've heard people say, you know, he lives in that big house that you built. The church actually built the house I live in. I've heard people talk about the way my kids dress. I mean, you know, that attitude of, it's not fair. And somehow, many, many times the pastors looked at like this, "Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor." My dad wouldn't drive a Cadillac because of what people would say. That's really a shame. That's really a shame. When I turn 80, I'm buying me the biggest Corvette they make. And I'm going to drive it down Woodward with the radio blaring the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Favor isn't fair, people say. It's really jealousy. It's envy. And what we, the people of God, when someone else is blessed, we ought to be blessed ourselves. Boy, I'm so glad he's got that. You know, if there wasn't a lot of wealthy people around here, we wouldn't have stuff like we have here. Because God has blessed them. They've blessed us. And God intended to bless them to bless us. That's the grace of God. The grace of God. When the Spirit of God teaches you the truth, and you see it, and you own it, and you acknowledge it, you'll stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. The last probably 15 days, I have been so overcome, literally, like Greg prayed. I've been overcome. I mean, I am breaking down. I cry. And it's not just because I'm 71. It's because I don't know what to do with these awesome things. I'm amazed. I'm in a state of wonder and praise. God showing you favor really isn't fair. It's grace. Anything short of hell is grace. That's right. Should have been dead a long time ago, sleeping in my grave. It's unmerited favor. You're here today, hearing the gospel one more time. You could have OD'd a long time ago. But God has brought you here. And maybe, even in your sins, you know, it's not just churchy Pharisee people that say it's not fair. I've heard drug addicts say, it's not fair. Or how about this? They come to the mission and there's a little discipline going on. They go like this. And you guys call yourselves Christians. You know, that's a good one too. Every child of God must reach this state to be in this hallelujah place. It's, who am I? You drove over here in a car. Who do you think you are? You live in a house. You ate breakfast today. Or maybe you're in the center. Thank God that He provided a center across the street. You've been blessed. You've been favored. Do you know there are people out there in those vacant houses right now? You moms, you remember when you were sleeping in the back seat of a car and had your kids and there was literally no hope, and now here you are. Hasn't God been good to you? And all of it's God's blessings. And now, because you're in church and because you're acting half civil now, don't take credit for that yourself. You've been clean 30 days? Hallelujah! You haven't relapsed over 15 times in the last 2 years? Hallelujah! Many, many years ago, you remember, some of you probably read the story where C.S. Lewis tells of the little boy who buys his dad a lollipop with his dad's quarter. That's you and me. You don't give God anything. It's all His to begin with, right?
So I'm bringing it to God.
Have you lost your mind? You have nothing except what God gives you. And you're just giving back to God what He gave you. That's the way you look at things. God has brought you into the land, has given you great and godly cities, goodly cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and wells dig which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. That's Old Testament, but that's good theology. And then the big question Ruth asks is always the question we ought to be asking ourselves. Why did you take notice of me? You know, the doctrines of grace are hated by many. Because quite frankly, God has showed favor. And He calls these people who are His elect. That ain't fair. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That ain't fair. You want fair? If you want fair, God will send us all to hell. That would be fair. And that would be just. Don't get in a hissy about the doctrine of election. It's a glorious, awesome, wonderful Bible truth that God has chosen a number of people unto salvation which no man can number. Why are some of you looking at me like that? It's true. Isn't that amazing? You ornery, sorry maggot. God chose you. It's not fair. Well, He didn't choose you on the basis of your goodness. It's called sovereign grace. It's called unmerited favor. Thank God He doesn't give us what we deserve. I am. Thank you. Favor's not fair. It's just not fair. And let me tell you what favor is, so I can make it really plain. It's distinguishing grace. It's segregating grace. It's peculiar, particular grace. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Isn't that awesome? Not He might, not perhaps, but He shall. You were saved on purpose for a purpose. You are precious in His sight. You are peculiar and particular to Him. And then Christ came into the world. Somebody said, well, you know, I know what you think, Pastor, that He died for everybody to give everybody a chance. You don't need a chance. This is not lotto luck. This is amazing grace. This is sovereign grace. This is free grace. He bought you. He paid for you in full. He finished the work. He paid the price. He bought you. Oh, I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. I may turn Pentecostal here any minute. He bought you. Oh, you were in debt. Oh, you and I were in such debt. But He paid the debt off. You owe justice. Justice had to be satisfied. God is a just and a holy and a righteous God. And every sin that you've ever thought and ever committed, He had to pay for in full. Either He pays or you pay. And you have nothing to pay. You're bankrupt. He paid the price. I want you to see that you are so precious and that you're special. Well, you are. Because you haven't been redeemed with silver and gold. Oh, you're valuable to God because the price He paid was the blood of His own Son. Oh, you're expensive. And being that expensive, you ever had anything really expensive? I tell you, you kind of keep an eye on it. You have no intentions of losing it. Amen. God's not going to lose you. He didn't buy you to lose you. He paid for you. And I love those passages in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Whom He predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, hallelujah, them He also glorified. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, you're favored. You're favored. Don't you know that every blessing that comes your way was one of His handfuls on purpose? See, I was so blessed today. Did you realize that God gave you that blessing? And sometimes, do you know a little bit about this? I'm finding out a lot about this. I stumble right into a blessing. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it was coming. Now, I want to tell you a couple stories today about stumbling into blessings, hands full on purpose, that God left out there in the field for me. I know it's not going to sound fair, but you know, up there at the new William A. Davis home, I didn't know how we were ever going to get that place. I didn't know how we were going to get $5.5 million. I saw those girls up there Friday moving in. I said, what a blessing. I just broke down and cried. I wasn't crying because I was sad. I wasn't crying because I was 71. I was crying because I just picked up a handful on purpose. You know what I mean? That was God bless. He had this place. Look at this place here. 15 years ago, I said, God, please give me that place. I didn't see it coming. But you know, and when I said, you know, God, give me that place, I didn't know He was literally going to give me that place. I thought we'd have to raise $3 or $4 million. But no, somebody comes along and pays for it in full. I didn't spend a red dime. It was just bought and paid for. I got a picture of the deed being signed over. What a blessing. And then on top of that, God blessed with another $500,000 just to make it look nice. Do you know what's happening around here? I mean, I came out here yesterday and saw that copper up there, and Danny told me he's going to put the cross right on top of that. When they turned it into a bar, we made them take it down. There's one going back up there. I mean, I came in Wednesday, and Tracy said to me, you got a call, long-distance call from a pastor from Cincinnati. I said, really? Who? She said, Lasser Bradley Jr. I said, he's dead. She said, well, he's talking. He was on the phone. He wants you to call him back. I said, Lasser Bradley Jr., let me tell you the story about Lasser Bradley Jr. When I was 10 years old, Lasser Bradley Jr. appeared in Look magazine. That was a big magazine back then with lots of pictures. Lasser Bradley Jr., when he appeared in Look magazine, was 15 years old. He was the boy wonder preacher. It so happens in God's providence that I went to school and attended some of the church that Lasser Bradley Jr. was a member of. He was in Lexington, Kentucky. His father was a federal judge. At any rate, in the providence of God, Lasser Bradley Jr. was invited to come to my dad's church, Grace Baptist Church. I was 10 years old. He was the most amazing preacher I've ever heard. He was like a Roth Barner to me. At 10 years old, I sat and listened to Lasser Bradley Jr. preach the truth of grace. And 10 years old, at Grace Baptist Church, sitting on the left-hand side, about where Daryl's sitting, I could have stood up and screamed, hallelujah, as he talked about God's amazing grace. I was 10 years old. I found out he was on radio out of Louisville, Kentucky at 10:30 every Sunday night. Every Sunday night. And actually, after he left Grace Baptist Church, he became a Primitive Baptist. So my dad, who was Missionary Baptist, dropped him. That means didn't support him anymore and wasn't going to have him back to preach anymore because he was a different flavor. And so secretly, from 10 years old, I tuned him in every Sunday night at 10:30. And I can remember Lasser Bradley Jr. preaching the gospel and me, 10 years old, up there in my bed with my clock radio, listening to Lasser and shouting at 10 years old, praise God! Oh, I kind of said it quiet because I didn't want Dad to hear. 61 years ago. And now, let me tell you the rest of the story. When Lasser called, I called him back. I didn't tell him I thought he was dead. I called him back. He said, it's so good to hear your voice. He said, I've just finished reading about you in World Magazine. So I'm thinking last year. Right? Remember, we won the World Magazine Award for Compassion, and I went to Washington. We got $25,000. So I said to him, thank you. And I said, are you still at the same church? He said, yes. But he said, Kent, we're having real problems here in Cincinnati. This city's being taken over by drug dealers. And for the first time in all of my ministry, which has to be 60, 70 years, I'm dealing with drug addiction. And I really have no idea what to do. I said, would you like to come up to Grace Gospel Fellowship? And I said, would you like to preach for us while you're here? Oh, he said, I'd be so honored. So in September, Lasair Bradley Jr. is going to come up and preach for us on a Sunday morning. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I got World Magazine. Only I get it every month in a single form, but somebody sent me a package with five magazines in there. And I threw them in the back seat of my car, and I said to myself, I don't know why they sent those. I took them home, and I took them in, and Miss Pam said, what do you want to do with these? I mean, she's quick to pick things up and move them. I'm always laying stuff around. Anyway, I said, probably just pitch them. I have one upstairs. And she said, well, maybe I should look through them and just see if there's anything about Grace Centers. Look at that. That's me. Now, I want to say this really quick. It says, man with a mission, not Superman, but a life changer. Now, let me say real quick. Don't clap yet. I want to say to you, you know who the life changer is, and it's not Kent Clark. It's the Lord Jesus, so I want to give him the glory. But this is the article. 400,000 people are going to find out about what we believe here at Grace Centers of Hope. God is doing something, and I believe on the world stage. You think about praying before the House of Representatives. You think about this article for the second time being in World Magazine. You think about us winning that Compassion Award. So yesterday I'm looking through my emails and it pops up. One from Marvin Olasky. You know who Marvin Olasky is? He's the editor of World Magazine. And he says to me, Kent, we are getting hundreds of response to the article that we put in the magazine this month. See, I didn't even know the article was in there. You see, that's what God does when you're not looking, right? He blesses you. And he said, you know, you're welcome. I'll send you more copies if you can use them. I said, yes, send about 200. We'll pass them out at our golf outing. So all of those heathen golfers who come who don't know the Lord will get to find out about Christ. Isn't God sneaky how he gets his word out to people? So I said to Marvin, I wrote him back. I said, would you ever consider speaking for us one Sunday morning? I mean, I thanked him for putting the article in. He said, it would be a high honor for me to come to Grace Gospel Fellowship. So now we're on first name basis. Let me go back just a little bit. 28 years ago, I read a book by Marvin Olasky about the tragedy of American compassion. And I began to institute over at Pontiac Rescue Mission the things that Olasky said in that book, like no government funding, no welfare, it doesn't work, entitlement doesn't work. And 28 years ago, I meet the man who wrote the book. See, those things are not accidents. Those are God doing things on purpose. I know it's not fair. Today I got up very early and I went to the drugstore to buy the Detroit Free Press because I thought we were going to be the headlines today. They said we were, but the tragedies that happened in Dallas is consuming the papers now. By the way, this is not a white church and this is not a black church. This is God's church. But anyway, I know you ought to watch the Free Press. I wouldn't buy one before you look at it. But this week sometime we're going to have about, I don't know, maybe two or three or four pages, perhaps even the headlines about the new women and children's shelter, the William A. Davison. Oh, one other story, and I know it's quarter after, but just one other story. Friday, the Free Press sent a photographer up there, and he's taking pictures. And we, at about 11 o'clock, Danny was there and a few other folks. We made a circle, and I'd planned at 11 o'clock we'd just have prayer. One of our ladies prayed, and Miss Pam prayed. But it was a moving time as we made that circle and had prayer. You could sense God was there in such a powerful way. And the photographer come up to me, and here's what he said. Pastor, I'm not a religious man. I'm not a religious man. I don't go to church. These were his exact words. I think I just felt the presence of God. And you know, I sensed his spirit. He was a very kind young man. As we talked along, I said, you know, do you ever do work on the side besides for the Free Press, you know, come out and take pictures? And he said, well, I've won several awards for films. I said, did you say film? He said, yeah, and there were big awards, too. There were documentaries. And I said, you know, we've made a couple films. He said, would you send them to me? I said, of course. I'd be glad to. Accident? No, hands full on purpose. The Lord may save that gentleman. Amen. All right, I've wandered all over the place. Grace is not fair. It's unmerited favor. You don't want things to be fair. You want unmerited favor of God. I hope you'll praise Him today. I hope you'll begin to count the little things that happen in your life. You start expecting God, you'll start seeing Him. He'll be there.